Will you please open your Bibles this evening and turn with me to the first verse in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. I found out yesterday afternoon I was preaching tonight, so I started writing right away. Hopefully it'll be a blessing to you as it was to me. I entitled this message tonight, The Bible, the book of all books. Do you know what the word Bible means? The word Bible, before the Bible was... Oh, is there anybody that needs a handout? In case we missed you when you came in, raise your hand, and one of our ushers will make sure that you get one in case we missed you. Thank you. Before the Bible was translated into English, the New Testament was originally written in Greek. And the word Bible comes from the Greek word biblos, which means, are you ready? Many of you know it. The word Bible means book. Pretty profound, huh? But would you agree that this book is unlike any other book? Would you agree that this is a special book? Would you say that there's no other book on this planet that compares to this book? If you would say that, then you'd be right. The Bible is the book of all books. Often imitated, but never duplicated, it has stood the test of time. It has withstood centuries of persecution. Why? Because this is the book of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me at Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the book, biblos, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. I thought with Wednesday night being a Bible study night, it'd be a good time to study the Bible. Amen? And I wanted to study the Bible itself. And that's what we're going to do. It's a good time for us as a church to take a look at the most precious resource that God has preserved for us for thousands of years. I want us tonight to take a look at the book itself and value the privilege that we have today, the freedom that we have today in our country, in our city, even in our homes, to have a copy of God's Word to us. God has revealed himself to us in His Word. We can open up the Bible and we can read everything that God has intended us to read. Turn in your Bible to the Old Testament, to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 12. The first thing I want us to savor tonight in God's Word is this. It's in your notes. God's Word is truth. God's Word is truth. The Bible says this in Titus 1:2. It says that God cannot lie. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 goes a little bit further. It says that it's impossible for God to lie. And other parts of the Bible, including Proverbs 6:16, it reveals to us that God hates lying. And He hates lies. It says it's one of the six things that God hates. And look with me at Proverbs 12, verse 22. It says, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. Lying lips are an abomination to God. If you have a problem with lying, you need to turn that over to God and get it over with now, because God detests it. Knowing that the Bible is God's Word, knowing that God cannot lie, knowing that God detests lying, we can conclude that the Bible being God's Word is truth. Amen? Therefore, you can be assured that above everything else, your notes say, you can trust the Bible. You can trust the Bible. There's an interesting verse in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. And let me read it to you. Numbers 23, 19 says this. It says, God is not a man that he should lie. People may lie to you, but God can't and God won't. We need to listen to Him because God will always tell us the truth. Amen? Amen. Turn in your Bibles to the New Testament, to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I know that you probably have heard this statement before, but you're going to hear it again. And the statement is this: sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth hurts. But aren't you glad that God loves us enough to be truthful with us, to warn us, to correct us, to admonish us, to instruct us? You know, if we were to just read and listen to God, we probably would keep ourselves out of a lot of mess, wouldn't we? We'd keep ourselves out of a lot of pain and a lot of hurt, a lot of discomfort, if we would read the Bible and we would listen to God, because God loves us. He cares about us, and He shares His truth with us. Look with me at 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all Scripture, all the words of this Bible, all of God's Word, is given by inspiration of God and is, and what's the next word? Profitable. Every word in this book is profitable for what? It's profitable for doctrine, what to believe. It's profitable for reproof, what not to believe. It's profitable for correction, what's wrong. It's profitable for instructions in righteousness, what's right. God has given us all the answers in this word, and our job is to live our lives according to what He's given us and what He's left for us. Everything we read in the Bible, we know is true because it comes from God, who can't lie, who won't lie, and who detests lying. His word is truth. And He's given us all Scripture that's profitable for you and for I in all areas of our life. What to believe, what not to believe, what's wrong, and how to make it right. And even if we didn't have a copy of the Bible, which I'm glad we do, because there's some people in this world that don't have an access to a copy of God's Word. But even if we were like those people and we didn't have a copy of God's Word, let me ask you this question. Could we still know by other ways that God has revealed His truth to us? Yes. There's truth about the existence of God and the power of God to which every person has access just from going outside and observing nature. And because of this, Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says that we are without excuse. Just walk outside this building and take a look at some of the things God made. If you walked outside during the daytime and you looked up in the sky, what would you see? You'd see birds, yes. I'm thinking of something big and yellow in a circle. Okay, there you go. The sun. I was sharing this with my Bible Institute class on Monday a week or so ago, and we looked at the sun. And I told him, I said, the sun is 93 million miles away from the earth. And that provides exactly the right temperature for mankind to function and live on this earth. If the sun was any closer, we'd be fried chicken. If the sun was any further away, we'd be frozen popsicles. But we're not. Thank God. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. It's just right. And why is that? It's because God's word is truth. And the Bible says that God created the sun, and He created the moon, and He created the stars. God's the one that made it. God's the one that put it in its place. It's God that's allowed that sun to be 93 million miles away so that you and I can live here on this earth, in this country, in this city, and function. And speaking of God making the sun, the moon, and the stars, the moon, I told the class, is 240,000 miles away from the earth. And I told them this. I said, we've got a great God. I said, you can just go outside and you can just see the magnificent creation and know the truth that God exists and know the magnificent power of the Creator. If you look at the moon, that's 240,000 miles away. Studies show us that the gravitational, if the moon was any closer, if the moon was 238,000 miles away, if it was any closer, the gravitational pull of the ocean tides would engulf the Earth's surface with water. We would all be paddling around in rowboats like they do in Venice. But we're not. Why aren't we? Because God's word is true. God made the sun. God made the moon. The Bible talks about God making the seasons. We enjoy this time of year. It's about to get cold this weekend, isn't it? But we can enjoy times like autumn and fall, winter, spring, summer, the earth's tilt provides the seasons, which God has promised that they will continue. In Genesis 8:22, the Bible says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease while the earth remaineth." If we look at our human bodies, I told them, it's remarkable to look at the precision on how we were created, you and I, to look at our skin and the function of our skin. Look at our bone structure, our muscles, our respiratory system, our cardiovascular system, our nervous system, all reveal a magnificent creator. In the book of Psalms, chapter 100, verse 3, the Bible says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God, it is He that made us." God's word reveals truth that should be evident right before our eyes. Not only is God's word truth, but number two, God's word lasts. Turn in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. The Bible is the most read and the most translated book in the world. I shared recently that the Bible has been translated. There's about 6,600 languages, known languages in the world, and the Bible's been translated to almost 3,000 of those languages. And there's so many projects that are going on right now through Bible translation organizations, and they're trying to get the Bible in everyone's language, and they're about halfway there. But with the Bible being the most read book in the world and the most translated book in the world, it also is the most persecuted book in the world. And its survival is nothing less than a miracle. Efforts have been made to collect and destroy every copy of the Bible in existence, with death being the penalty for having a single copy of the Bible in one's possession. For example, in 303 AD, the Roman Emperor Diocletian made an edict, and his edict was to destroy all Christians and their Bibles. A few years later in history, in 1501 AD, Archbishop Arundel made a declaration, and he ordered that all copies of the Bible in England be burned. The Bible was outlawed in England. No one could have a copy of the Bible. It was due to guys such as John Wycliffe, in which we have the Bible in English that we have today. Communist dictators have tried to rid their country of the scriptures, and even today in some parts of the world, Bibles are confiscated and people are punished for having a copy of God's word. But in spite of the many attempts to get rid of it, guess what? It's still here. The Bible has survived. There's a lot of self-help books out there, and when they come out on the shelf, man, they are hot. They're on the New York Times top 10 bestseller list. They sell over 1 million copies. It becomes the craze of the day. Everybody has to have a copy of this book. It's the key to help them solve all the problems in their life. And I think you know where I'm going with this. But what happens 5 or 10 years later? That self-help book has long been forgotten, and it doesn't work. It's forgotten because it doesn't work. And now you can buy that once very popular self-help book on Amazon.com for a penny and pay $3.99 shipping. And 5 years later, or 10 years later, you can find that same book at a garage sale for 10 cents. What's my point? My point is this, is that book has lost its value to the people that had a copy of it. Don't let it ever be said of you and your Bible that it's lost its value. It should be the most precious, tangible commodity that you own. Because unlike anything else you own, your car, your truck, your home, the Bible has proven itself to last. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 18. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." So how were we redeemed if we weren't redeemed with corruptible things? Verse 19, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Go with me down to verse 23. It says, "being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And what's the next phrase? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth for how long?
Forever.
Verse 24, for all flesh, this flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But notice verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth for how long?
Forever.
And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen? The Old Testament books were written collectively starting around 1450 BC, and the New Testament books were written between the years of 50 AD and 95 AD. So all the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, was compiled and written in its complete form about 2,000 years ago, and it's still thriving today. Why has it lasted so long? Your notes has the answer, and it's this: because it works. Because it works. We are starting to do some remodeling in our home right now, and we've lived in our home now for about 15 years, and we still have some of the original items that came with the house when Kathy and I moved in 15 years ago, some original items like the carpet. And after 15 years of raising kids in that house since they were little, and of having dog and a cat and all that goes along with it, it's time to change at that carpet. And we plan to do that soon, hopefully. But that's the carpet. But there's other things in that house that I'm not ready to discard yet. Because one of the sayings I have in our home is this: if it ain't broke, don't fix it, and don't break it. Why am I reluctant to replace some things in our home? It's because they work. Turn with me in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Many of you know these verses, and many of you probably already have them memorized, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But it's these verses that make me absolutely convinced that God's word works. It's been around for so long and has stood the test of time because it works. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The Bible says this. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I'm absolutely convinced of this after being a Christian now for 32 years. I'm absolutely convinced of this, that if you will not lean on your own understanding and your own thinking and your own mindset and your own ways, if you will not do that, but if you will, number one, read the Bible, believe what it says, trust it, and act on the Bible's instructions concerning whatever you're dealing with, you will have the answers. You will know what to do, and things will always work together for good. Maybe not the good that you want, but it will work for God's good. But the opposite is also true. If you don't take the time to read the Bible, and you don't take the time to listen to God's instructions in the Bible, you're on dangerous ground. Many of you probably could attest with me that it's no fun learning the hard way. Amen? That's why it's so important for us to go God's way. Go God's way. Believe me, when problems come your way, you want to go from worry and go from distress and go from despair to having the peace that passes all understanding, which the Bible says you can have in your heart and in your mind through a person. And that person is who? Jesus Christ. But your notes say this: it all starts with you turning to God and reading his word. You're not going to get the answers unless you look for them in the book. God's word works. God's word lasts. God's word is truth. And then number three is this: God's word is right. God's word's right. A lot of the time, mankind, we think that we have all the answers when we really don't. You're in Proverbs right now. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. Proverbs 16, 25 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." It's interesting that they say that maps that the map makers used to make long, long ago, they said if you were to look at the edges of the maps that the map makers made a long time ago, you would see this phrase on the edges of the map. And the phrase was this: beware of dragons. People believed that if you journeyed too far outside of the known area in that day, that you were doomed to death by dragons. And later in time, we all know the story about Columbus when he was getting ready to sail the Ocean Blue in 1492. People thought that the earth was flat and that if Columbus traveled too far, guess what? He was going to fall right off the face of the earth. And he didn't. Why? Because 2,000 years before Columbus, long before telescopes, long before satellites, the Bible stated in Isaiah 42 that the earth was round. God's word is always right. Ancient theories about the origin of the earth said that the planet earth had to be resting on someone or on something. It couldn't just be freestanding on its own. It couldn't exist on its own. That's hogwash. But even before that, the Bible had it right. And Job chapter 26, verse 7 states that God hangeth the earth upon nothing. God just stuck it there, and it's not hanging on anything. Whenever archaeological discoveries are made, guess what they find out? That the Bible is always right. Thousands of archaeological findings have been made to confirm various statements in the Bible, from the time of the flood in Noah's day, to the Tower of Babel, to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, to the walls of Jericho coming tumbling down. The author of the book of Luke and the book of Acts, Luke wrote, Luke was a doctor, a physician, a very well-educated man, and the Lord allowed Luke to write two books of the Bible, Luke and Acts. And these two books that he wrote talk about 32 different countries that existed in Luke's day, 54 cities, 9 islands, and several rulers. And guess what? All of Luke's statements have been confirmed by hundreds of archaeological findings. Just 2 years ago, during an excavation, an ancient city in Israel was unburied along with some ancient Hebrew text. Maybe you saw it in the news a couple years ago or read about it. They say that this is one of the most exciting and the most important finds since the Dead Sea Scrolls, because this is the oldest Judean city that they have ever discovered and uncovered to date. And the Hebrew texts that they found date 3,000 years old. And the evidence that they found verifies such things as David as the king of Israel. And they confirm the narratives that you read in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and 1 Chronicles, and 2 Chronicles. How do I want to sum it up? It's in your notes. It says, no archaeological discovery has ever contradicted a biblical statement. Why is that? It's because this book is the book of all books. It's the word of God. It's true. It lasts. And it's right. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And let me ask you this question. Do you think that a book that is always right on target concerning science, concerning history, concerning prophecy, can be right on target about you? It can, and it is. In Romans chapter 3, the Bible teaches the truth that we as a people are separated from God. In Romans 3:23, the Bible says this: for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible reveals our character and God's character just in that one little verse. It tells us that He is just and we're unjust, that He is holy and we're unholy. We fall short. And because of our sin, because of our disobedience to God, the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the penalty of our sin that God has designated is death. Eternal separation from God forever in a place called hell. But the truth of God's word reveals that God has a wonderful plan for you and for me. He's not willing, the Bible says, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants you and I to have a change of mind and a change of heart. He doesn't want you to have death. He wants you to have life. And the truth of God's word says that the life is in his Son. It's in his Son, Jesus. And the fact that he bore your sins in his body on that tree. And then he defeated death when he rose from the grave 3 days later, assuring eternal life to anyone that will believe on his finished work on the cross. 1 John chapter 5, 11 through 13 says this. Let me read it to you. It says, and this is the record. What record has God given us? And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye might know that you have eternal life, and that ye might believe on the name of the Son of God. That invitation to believe the truth of Jesus' death on the cross for your sins, his resurrection from the dead, guaranteeing you and I eternal life in heaven one day, that invitation is open to everyone and anyone that will accept it. Look with me at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Let's read this verse together. Many of you know it. It says, for whosoever... For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What do I need to do, Pastor Rich, to be saved? If you look back just a few verses earlier, verse number 9, it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, what are the last four words? Thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. There have been many individuals that have set their life's goal to show and demonstrate that the Bible is not true. It's not right. But many of those people, after exposing themselves to God's word, after engulfing themselves in God's word, they've come up with the same conclusion. And the conclusion is this: God's word is true. God's word is right. Some of the greatest opposers of the Bible have become believers of the Bible. Your handout says the Word of God has transformed countless millions of lives, including yours and mine, if you're saved here tonight. One particular individual, probably one of the most dramatic conversions ever, occurred right here in this book, and we're able to read about it. And that was a guy named Saul of Tarsus. He was a hater of Christ, a persecutor of Christians. He traveled from city to city, and if he found a Christian there, he would have them renounce their faith. If they didn't, he would haul them back to Jerusalem and jail them. But this Saul of Tarsus was miraculously converted. And later he wrote in Romans chapter number 1, verse number 16, he wrote, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The most dominant anti-Christian of his day was miraculously changed and transformed to the largest supporter of Christianity in his day. And it was due, he says, to the gospel of Christ and the power of God unto salvation to anyone that believeth. Paul was saved, and Paul was excited about sharing the fact that he was saved with other people, and so should we. Sinners of every type have been transformed by the Bible's message. Literally millions of people worldwide, from plain old pagans to modern-day scientists, have testified to the power of God's word in their lives. And it's because this book is the book of all books. This book is unlike any other book. This book is a special book. And there's no other book on this planet that compares to this book. If you would say that, then you'd be right. The Bible is the book of all books, often imitated, but never duplicated. It has stood the test of time because your notes say this is a living book. A living book. The book of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads with me? And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we thank you for the fact that we have a living God. We have a living Savior who not only died on the cross for our sins, but conquered death and is alive today. And Lord, we thank you that we have a living book, the Word of God, with all the answers that we need. What more could we ask for? And Lord, we thank you so much for our Savior and for your truth. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.